And then there were four.
Four!
Nah, dude, not that kind of four.
Four men, four minds, eight fists, and a heap of silliness. They've traded in the bedroom for a proper studio.
And as always, these gents will try and make sense of the world with their words. And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish.
But let's hope it doesn't come down to that.
Thanks to the butcher shop, Kayleen. Please welcome your hosts of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, Scotty.
Yes, I died for 6 minutes. No, there wasn't a lie.
Masters.
Ben. In Soviet Russia, I punch you.
Edwards.
Steve.
Hey, baby, want to see my microphone payoffs? And Duke.
How good do my abs look?
Didier.
It is season 3, episode 18 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the butcher shop in Kayleen. I'm Scotty Masters.
And I'm officially a public servant.
Hey! Yay!
Look here.
Welcome to Canberra.
I hate myself.
Already?
Come on, man. You get flex time, doona days. You get all sorts of benefits everything. When you're
mental health days, Edwards. Yeah. Take awesome. One or two on there.
I'll take one after this.
Take a few of those. I'm the Duke. I'm a human pincushion today. So
Duke's just come from having needles in the back.
Just hobbled my way in straight from the doctor's...
You sure it was...
Who did you hobble in from?
Oh, mate, I was very scary.
It was cortisone they injected?
Cortisone.
Yeah. You sure you've only had seven?
Are you sure?
Oh, I don't know, mate. I just laid down.
Well, he come in, Scotty, saying he had an epidural. We're going.
Yeah,
here
well, that's what
we
it was. That's
go.
Literally what it was.
You sure you've only had?
That's what it's what it was.
You sure you've only had seven fights?
mate, I laid down. It's very scary. They put a needle in your back.
And oh, get those needles in your back and your neck with the ultrasound so they can see what they're putting it. Yeah, it's unnerving,
like,
isn't it?
Well, they're going, are you okay? And I said, you just told me not to move.
Yep.
I can't talk. And I was like, I'm okay.
Did it hurt, mate? Was it actually hurting? It's a big needle, is it?
It's just an awkward feeling. Going straight into the bottom of my spine. Like, just an awkward
feeling. Because of where they're putting it in,
something you wouldn't normally feel. And then you get off the table and everything doesn't feel right. And they told me not to drive home, make sure someone was there. Obviously, I didn't plan that, so I drove.
Yeah.
So that was scary as well. You know, you've never...
Did you crash into the gutter?
No. I was like, this is the one time.
2 weeks running.
Don't play around on your phone. Don't do anything. Just drive, mate. Just do this one time, this one thing. But anyway. Okay.
You'd never play on your phone and drive anyway.
I feel like
this could be used in a legal sense. We might have to bust out her.
Don't say anything else.
Stevie, you're looking fight and fit as always, mate.
Thank you very much, mate. Another good weekend. Another fresh weekend. Spent yesterday with you, which was great. And a bit of time on Saturday night watching your wonderful band as well go around, Scotty. So
yeah,
it was a good weekend.
I didn't come.
Depending on... And you didn't come to the gig
And you didn't
either.
Come to the gig either.
I had a mental health day.
We might be able to talk about something Steve and I were doing yesterday if you do all right out of it. So Steve's put his hand up for something, but we might talk about it next week on the show. But it was good fun.
It was, mate.
Running around Queanbeyan with a camera yesterday.
Jules was joining the band on the piano and Payos' backup vocals.
That's right.
The best thing was yesterday, we're down Queanbeyan Park.
Really? Did I just guess that right?
No.
Yeah.
No. Oh. No, shut up. We were down Queanbeyan Park yesterday.
Australia's worst singer.
And we're leaving and there's this woman walking a pug.
Oh,
and
this was
goes,
no
oh,
good.
I know this chick, Scotty. He goes, oh, Scotty, this is my teacher in high school. This is Denise. And she goes, Carol.
Sorry, Mrs. Patterson, if you're listening.
I'm like, my sincere apologies.
She probably what saved me with that, though, was that she knows my parents very well. So she taught me in high school, at Queanbeyan High School.
Yeah, right.
And then I've thrown out the old, this is Denise. Yeah, I'm Scotty. It's Carol.
But it was the right woman.
It was the same person I was thinking of.
But he got her name wrong.
Yeah, just he just had her first name. Well, I knew her last name.
In your defense, in school, it was always Miss or Mrs.
The correct Mrs.
And he did when we left. He goes, see you later, Mrs. P.
Yeah, I tell you, I can get used to being called Sir all day, every day.
Mr. Edwards, you like that?
That's awesome.
Did they call you Sir?
No, just Sir. Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah. Hi, sir.
Because that's normal. Sir and Miss.
Yeah.
Much better than when you're on the door at Mr. Wolf and you just get called a cunt.
Public school, it's
Let me hear you.
Yeah. I'm all right. Some of the teachers, they know sir there.
Nice. I'm looking forward to this week's live read for the butcher shop because, Ben, we are not the only ones that have put the butcher shop meat
I'm
down
ready
their
to
neck.
Take this live read, baby.
I was in there on a Sunday for a change.
Yeah, nice. Week.
Yeah.
Nice.
Could try something new.
You smacked yours up too, didn't you, Juki? Or not yet?
Yeah, I've gobbled it all down. Don't you worry about that.
I can't wait to talk about that. Could we do the live right now?
We'll get to that very, very shortly. We're going to kick off the podcast now with something a little different. This popped up in my iTunes today. And
this
I just
is
went,
good from
I
you, Scotty.
I can't believe he's just put out another album. Given what happened on Capitol Hill last week with the Liberal Party and everything, Kevin Bloody Wilson has just put out a second Christmas album called Kev's Christmas Volume 2. Now, I don't know about you guys, I mean, being older, but growing up, when you're a little kid, you heard a Kevin Wilson song. It was like, oh, this is so like, naughty.
Same genre as Rodney Rude, though, wasn't it? All that sort of stuff, just real gronky.
Well, I shouldn't be listening to this. I'm not allowed to listen to this.
The thing is, Kevin Wilson is a squillionaire. He made millions during the 80s doing that stuff all around the world. He tours the world constantly still playing these songs. So,
do you reckon a guy like that could come through now with the current way the world...
Well, he's just released an album on iTunes and I just paid for
it. But you're right,
but
he's going off his name and what he's done previously.
And
could someone new do that?
I watched the special on 60 Minutes on Sunday. He was talking about political correctness. I mean, like, I think he sort of got immunity because he's been around so long.
But was Kevin Bloody Wilson on it, was he?
Yeah, Kevin Bloody Wilson was talking about political correctness.
Yeah, right. Okay. See, I didn't see that.
There you go. I was going to say, because there you go.
Is that the song that we're using?
I just thought that everyone at Parliament House would be on this list. Now, if you've got, I'm just going to put this out there. We'd normally bleep all
Can
the
I
swearing.
Can I finish my question from 2 minutes ago?
Sure.
I was referring to the way what music's like distributed these days and the amount of profits compared to the 80s.
Yeah.
Do you reckon a guy like that could actually make a living if he was just coming through without his name?
Well, because he's big on the live show. So
he does, that's the thing.
But most people, that's where they make most
Probably
money,
not, Benny, I'd say. You'd have to come up with something different.
Yeah.
Most musicians make money from touring and live performances. Yeah,
but he couldn't just be Rude anymore because Rude's not as... He's got the nostalgia factor, but I mean, a new seedy old man swearing a lot probably won't cut it. No, it's been done.
Yeah, that's true.
But even
Rolf Harris, Kevin Bloody Wilson, it's done now. Can't talk about Rolf on the podcast.
No, don't talk about Rolf. So with this one, normally we beep all the swearing out of this, but we don't beep other people swearing. So this song is chock full of it.
You
so
have if you've beeped other people swearing. You beeped out all the Conor McGregor's versus Mayweather.
That was only if I got that grab and it was already pre-bleeped.
Yeah, it was already
pre-bleeped.
Nah, Ben, it was pre-bleeped. It was pre-bleeped.
Why are you so chirpy?
He's just had an epidural.
He's had 2 days full sleep since Saturday night.
Full of cortisone, mate.
So I'm just going to put this out there. If you are listening to this in the car and you've got kids, you might want to just press pause, wait till the kids are gone.
So you're not going
to
bleep this?
I'm not going to bleep this. Let's kick off the podcast this week with Santa's Hunt List. What it's called.
Is that beep, though?
That was, but the song won't be. All right?
Got that, parents?
Check this out. It's full of the C-bomb.
Cut this, baby.
I got a call from Santa Claus today, confirming where you live. He sounded pretty snaky, mate. He sounded pretty pissed. So don't be surprised if he skips your house again. Reckon that's why he called me. 'Cause he knows that I'm your mate. So mate, don't worry about a Christmas tree. Yeah, seems old Saint Nick's giving you the flick. He said he'll leave fuck all Christmas cheer. Said if cunts were scaled from 1 to 10, you'd been a fucking 28 this year. 'Cause when he checked on his Christmas database, since his records first began, he found a picture of you filed under mega cunt. Mate, you done it again. Your name is number one on Santa's cunt list. 'Cause of all of the cunts in all of the world, mate, you fucking blitzed them. You've topped the charts, you're number one, so have an awesome Christmas, 'cause your name is number one on Santa's cunt list. Mate, you've excelled yourself. Attaboy, way to go. Personal best, world's biggest cunt. That's 10 years in a row. 'Cause to you that's like a badge of honour that I know you'll wear again with pride. But just be careful who finds out, old mate, 'cause it could be a negative side. 'Cause imagine if Santa tells the Easter Bunny no chocolate eggs at Easter. But that's not a bad thing, 'cause it's plain to see the Tooth Fairy don't like you either. And if Santa thinks that you're a cunt, it don't get better than that. 'Cause it's not like you have to work hard at it. To you it just seems to come natural. 'Cause your name is number one on Santa's cunt list.
because of all of the cunts in all of the world. Mate, you fucking blitzed them. You've topped the chart, you're number one. So have an awesome Christmas, because your name is number one on Santa's cunt list. If Santa thinks that you're a cunt, well, that's about as good as it gets. He could have picked any one of us raggedy-ass cunts, but, mate, Santa thinks you're the best. That makes you king of the cunt castle, undisputed number one. If you're a Catholic, you know what they'd call you? His Holiness Pope Cunt. But I know that you're a humble bloke, and you take it all in your stride. But when it comes to being a serial mega cunt, mate, you old bragging rights. And you're still me mate, and that's a fact. And to me, that's all that really matters. You may be a cunt, but you're a good cunt. And you're getting fucking better at it. Cause your name is number one on Santa's cunt list. Cause of all of the cunts in all of the world, mate, you fucking blitzed them. You've topped the chart, you're number one, so have an awesome Christmas, cause your name is number one on Santa's cunt list, mate. Your name is number one on Santa's cunt list.
Santa's Beep List by Kevin Bloody Wilson. This is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, brought to you by The Butcher Shop in Kaylene. I'm Ben, here with Scotty, Steve and Duke. And coming up is the second best segment on the show. Well,
yeah, it's the best.
Is it?
It's the best.
Is it?
Scotty, play the clip.
Let's do this.
Talking Takedowns.
And now it's time for Talking Takedowns. With the man who has a tattoo of Bon Jovi on his left ass cheek.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome Duke Didier.
Ladies and gentlemen. Don't speak over me when I'm introducing myself.
There's no ladies and there's no gentlemen here.
That's for sure.
Welcome to Talking Takedowns. So this week we're at UFC in Lincoln. I was supposed to watch it with Ben, except I was having a mental health day home. Gaethje versus Vic. Now, I was talking to Ben. I was talking to you guys in the group chat about this. Yeah. I love nothing more than when a guy talks so much crap
and then just digs himself spanked.
A hole and just gets absolutely punished.
And I wanted to ask Justin as well. I mean, you know, James has been in the meeting. He's been talking a little bit and had some things to say about you. I mean, you always bring it every time, no question about it. But I wonder if this is getting a little bit personal for you.
I
didn't hear what the guy said.
You're welcome, James. Welcome to the big show. You get to fight the main event. You made it, buddy.
Yeah, thank you, man. It's your last main event. You're about to be on a 3-fight losing streak and shipping your ass back to the B-League to fight tomato cans again.
And I'll still have more money in my bank account.
I got more money than you right now, bro. I fought 4 times in the last year, and I won my fights. You lost 2 out of 3. You fucking suck, dude.
You're a can crusher, bro.
You padded your record against B-level competition.
I made $200,000 in bonuses.
You've been fucking... Congratulations.
You haven't made that in your 10 fights.
Congratulations. Don't break your hand patting yourself on the ass, bro.
Well, you're welcome.
Thanks, guys.
I have a question for James. Are you going to run like a bitch the whole time, or are you going to stand there and fight me for these people?
Yeah, I'm not the Homer Simpson of MMA like you are, bro. I'm not going to take a beating, but you will get knocked the fuck out. You take 10 significant strikes per minute. That's 50 shots a round that you ain't lasting 3 rounds of me taking all that beating like that. You're 29 years old and you're punch drunk and slurring when you talk, bro. So you're getting knocked out. No, I'm not going to stand like a retard and fight the
way. You're going to run like a bitch.
But you are going to get slapped. You're going to get knocked out within 3 rounds for sure.
The way I saw Vic, he's sort of bullying Gaethje a bit at the press conferences and putting him down.
Very condescending.
I've had
some similar insults saying, oh, you just fight like a meathead or you're just a brawler. Brawling's a style.
100% it's a style. There.
Rocky Marciano is a brawler. George Foreman was a brawler. You can be a brawler and be a successful fighter. Just putting
it out. I don't know what Gaethje. He's got awesome technique. Some of his leg kicks are the best in the business.
Yeah,
like
right.
I went back and was watching some of the World Series of Fighting, like that, and he made his name. He would just chop people to bits.
Yeah, I was a bit worried his leg kicks wouldn't really have an effect. And they obviously didn't in the fight, but using leg kicks against someone who's much taller than you, you run the risk of like hitting around the knee and high up in the shin areas when you really can hurt yourself if you're attacking your opponent. But it wasn't a factor.
Boy, how good was that? So Gaethje came in. I mean, Vic was doing what everyone thought, would try and stay long, use his reach advantage, but then Gaethje just marched forward with that big overhand right,
yeah.
Pushed him up. I actually saw a few people predicting that he'd push him up against the fence. Vic would go back with his chin backwards and in a bad position
and catch him. I reckon a lot of people, because in boxing, that would never happen. Like at a high level boxing match, because there's so much to do in MMA. There's so many things you got to learn. But if you're a tall guy fighting a shorter guy in a high level boxing match, there's no way the taller guy would get put on the ropes. If he did, he'd either circle off, take the center of the ring again, or hold. Because my game plan, every time I fight a taller guy, you can see it in all my fights, like the Serbia fight against Jamal Ben Sadiq. You go forward, you cut the ring off, and you go to the body. You do not back up against a taller man. That's exactly what he did. And I think the biggest issue with a huge issue with the fight, he's 6'3" and fights at 70 kilos.
When you're cutting
that much weight, the day before a fight, he was the worst looking guy at the weigh-ins. He looked awful. Your brain is not going to recover. He's not going to be fully hydrated 24 hours later. Mm. And Gaethje's a banger anyway. I'm not taking anything away from Gaethje, because Gaethje can crack.
And did crack.
Mate, he was out cold.
And he did.
And even when he went up to give him a hug after the fight, like a minute or two, mate, after he got knocked out, he tried to take him down. He was sort of like sitting on his stool. Gaethje came up to hug him, and he's sort of gone for like a takedown, and the camera cut away.
Yeah.
And the commentator said, look, he just tried to take him down. So that's why the camera cut away, because
he looked bad.
He was on quiz. And before, that's his first fight. He was one of four fight win streak, but he was 13-1 going into the fight.
And I mean, and he took his one loss, he took that on short notice. So I mean,
yeah.
he's a stud. But that just shows the quality of Gaethje and the quality of the opponents that have beaten Gaethje.
Yeah.
I mean, he came in, beat Michael Johnson in a screamer, then he lost to Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier in screamers. He's a top five fighter, man.
I love Duke after injections. This is a whole... I've actually got someone to work with here.
Yeah.
Someone to bounce off. This is awesome. This is awesome.
Yeah, Duke was out Friday night, so by Sunday night, the serotonin was back. He's just had an injection.
This is awesome.
I did my dash. And some of the other fights that we talked about last week that we're covering, like Jake Ellenberger got retired by... Brian, how do we say it? Is it Barbanera or Barbara?
It's Barbarina.
Barbarina.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Mr.
Barbarina. Barbarina.
At least Jake, you know, he lost his fight by knockout. And had the sort of foresight to know, okay, it's time to move on.
And it was in his hometown. Was it his hometown?
Sometimes that's how you want to go out.
And they broke protocol. They actually let, usually if you get knocked out, you aren't interviewed, but if you know a guy's retired, he left his glove in the middle of the octagon. They gave him a chance to say his goodbyes. Now, he 5 fights ago, he begged Dana for another shot, and he came back and he knocked out Matt Brown, which is a massive win. But since then, he went on a 4-fight losing streak. So he finished his career with 46 fights, 31 wins, and 15 losses.
That's a hell of a lot of fights.
Mm.
Yeah, he's been around, and he's only been lost 7 by KO, which only 7 knockouts. But he was a really kill or be killed fighter, man. Always entertaining.
Yeah. And I think the standout of the prelims is the one we touched on anyway, is Mickey Gall come through with that. Pretty much took his opponent down, took his back, rear naked choke, pretty much like the CM Punk fight. He's put himself back on the mat, which is pretty good, because I like watching him. And then the interesting thing, though, he got on the microphone, and he's always been known for interesting call-outs. He got on and he called out Diego Sanchez, which, you know, that'd be an interesting fight.
Yep.
Guy's already booked. He called out Sage Norcott, who he's already beaten. And he called out Matt Brown as well.
Yeah, really?
So, I mean, there are some interesting things to give some options as well. But why call out a guy you've already beaten and to say, let's
maybe
do it back?
Maybe he just hates him, wants to fight him.
Yeah, that's a funny call out. I think the Matt Brown fight's a good call out. Someone a little bit higher ranked than him, experienced, coming to the end of his career, that's a good call out.
So
I don't think he's booked either.
No, Diego Sanchez is booked next week. So, I mean...
And, mate, Diego's...
But he wants to fight by the end of the year as well. And Diego Sanchez, I mean...
Yeah. He's coming to the end of it, man. He's coming off a brutal... Was that Matt Brown that lost to Diego? Matt Brown knocked Diego out with that mad elbow.
Yeah, that was a mad elbow.
That's a funny call out, Diego. He's really coming to the end of it, man.
Yeah. So I mean, look, the whole card was a pretty action packed card. Mm. A lot of highlights out of it. I mean, do you want to touch on anything else that you saw in that fight in the show?
No. No, we covered it because the rest of the fights don't even come close to.
Yeah,
to
I think that,
that's the biggest.
It was interesting that they're the ones we touched on anyway, so it was pretty good that they'll come through. Next one coming up's Woodley Till, and I can't wait for that. That's a stack card.
I'm pumped up for that.
Big event 228, isn't it? UFC 228, so should be a cracker.
Yeah,
who are you picking for that?
I reckon we've
got to start. We've been good last few weeks. We've got to start doing picks every.
Yeah, we've got to start putting. Well. Yeah, well, we're going to
put it out there.
We've got to put our names.
Actually, I listened to one of our older podcasts on the way in just to get in the groove. I owe you a steak.
Oh, really?
I owe you a steak for Miocic and Cormier. I bet you a steak that Miocic was going to win.
So oh, good.
I will pay that before. Maybe next week. public service pay week Thursday week now that I'm a pube. So.
Yeah, you got that now, mate?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just passed, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that's pretty much all from Talking Takedowns this week.
The podcast you're listening to is pre-recorded before a live studio fern. Then give yourself an uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben, Steve and Hugh.
Well, we wouldn't be here every week without the wonderful folk at the Butcher Shop in Kayleen. And Benny, I'm pleased to say tonight you and I could just sit back and revel in the Payos Didier goodness because bought a little care package from the Butcher Shop for the boys during the week.
He did.
And 45-day aged dry-aged T-bone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Some miracle bacon, and they also had some Plowman snags.
When Payos sent us the photo of his meat on the group chat, it wasn't what I was expecting.
my goodness, that T-bone steak
was something special.
Just a different level of steak, isn't it?
And that's what I said to you. And that's the thing. It's
how do
just
I go back now? You don't go back now.
No, I've ruined you. Now.
Yeah,
no,
that's it. Well, no, that's it. Now I'm a customer.
Yeah,
you know. So it was awesome, wasn't it?
Absolutely, Juki. Yeah, the quality of it was fantastic. Just cooked it nice, medium rare. Left it there, not too hot of a heat too. So
who
served you? Go through myself.
No, I got it for them. Oh. The boys.
Oh, I didn't go. Got it. Were you listening?
Who served you?
Rachel served me. Rach.
She's the one with the shorter hair?
Yes.
She's lovely.
She is a lovely girl, Rach. Yeah,
So, no, it was fantastic. Cooking that steak was absolutely sensational. That bacon as well, Scotty, that miracle bacon.
Yeah.
The key came from you and said, do not cook it on too high of a heat because otherwise, what is it, splatters everywhere?
Well, no. Why didn't you tell me that?
Well, it's already infused. It's infused.
Yeah, but you got to cook it on low heat, though. That was the big instructions.
Let me answer the question. One, Ben, why didn't I tell you? Because you know everything.
We have a top five coming up.
I did another week in review for you.
Salty if you had a top five.
Speaking of extra salty, Butcher Shop.
Well, I mean, but no, that's the thing. With their miracle bacon, they cut the rind off and they inject it with the maple syrup and the Dijon. And because of the sugar in the maple syrup, if you cook it too hot, you can burn the outside of the bacon.
Jesus Christ.
So
it tastes good.
You've got to cook it slow. Low and slow.
That's what I did,
though.
I had it nice and low and slow, and it was sensational.
Well, that's the thing.
I
got
really, really nice.
Got up nice and early Friday morning, low and slow, bacon and eggs. Oh, my goodness. I work. I got up at 7:30.
Is it Saturday or Friday?
Friday up. Saturday, we also got up pretty early. We went real early.
Saturday, he got up at 7 a.m. on Friday.
So, boys, I know you've heard Ben and I bang on about it for sort of 2 years now, but you
listeners,
you definitely
get out
agree.
There. Absolutely. No, there's not even a question about it. It is Canberra's finest meat. It is sensational. That T-bone steak was brilliant. The bacon was fantastic. The sausages as well. Really, like in the Plowman sausages, it really tasted like pure meat. It was just
there's no crap in the snacks.
No crap.
And I can still add to it this week. I tried their pork belly for the first time. If I mean tried it, made the missus cook it. It was awesome. And that made... awesome.
That's the stuff we took up.
I've never had that before.
That's the stuff we took up to Lightning Ridge, the pork belly. We had a 4 kilo chunk of pork belly. It was so good.
It was just brilliant. Like I cannot high wraps on that. I can't say anything bad about the Butcher Shop. Get out there, get it down your neck.
There you go. When the quality is remembered
long after the price is forgotten. Thank you very much, the Butcher Shop.
Long after
one of the sponsors on this buddy. Yeah. Hey, whoa.
Hey?
Yeah, I bought him a 6-pack to say thanks.
No, 4-pack.
Oh my god! Pay us the fuss he made.
What did you give me,
mate? I gave him a high five and a thanks, mate.
Four pack of West Coast coolers.
There you go, mate. Yeah,
I gave him a high five and said, "I'll see you at your gig," which I never went to.
Exactly. You're off the list.
I'm looking forward to that all Friday night. I'm calling his physio, my cousin. Guess what? Duke's gonna come tomorrow. I'm gonna go down and see Scotty's gig. All right, no worries. Blah blah blah. And what happened?
Mental health day.
He had a mental health day. Well, he ended up. Who knows where will he end up?
Payos messaged me. He goes, "Are you going to Scotty's gig?" And I go, "No." And he goes, "Didn't you say you were going to it?" And I go, "Yeah."
Yeah, he had 5 a.m. That was the best part. Yeah.
Never buying a corporate table at your fights again.
That's right, yeah.
Now that I've got weekends free, I promise I'll make one.
We're going to the next gig. It's logged in and no mental health day.
What do you get when you cross a former radio host, two Biff merchants, and the human version of Viagra? You get this. The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben, Steve and Duke.
All right, lads, let's do this.
And now on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, it's time for The Week in Review.
Isn't that a marvellous intro?
Sounds like you on the intro.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't afford to pay the voiceover guy we use for everything.
Spoil it for everyone.
Yeah. Wait a bit. I did the week in review for you again, Ben.
Week
you,
in yes. review.
Yeah. I'm excited. Yes. This was good last week.
This was good. Really
this was
good.
Awesome.
All right, first up this
so
week.
So much be- Sorry, go
ahead.
Oh,
shut up.
This is so much
better
than
the top five, you shit.
All right, here we go. First up this week, Corey Big Hoss Harrison of Porn Stars, that's the son, and his wife are getting divorced after 1 year of marriage. It's not hard to imagine where their wedding rings are going to end up. Just let me call the guy. I'll see what they're worth. I know someone.
That's my favourite show.
I walk past that
shop. I love Porn Stars.
The old man died like a month
ago.
Yeah, the old man died about a month ago. Rick, Richard Sr.
Mate, they killed it, man. They made so much money. Apparently there's another son who's on the show that got left completely out of the will.
Oh, I love you, but you're not in the will.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So anyway, number two. A new survey says that 2/3 of parents are concerned about how much time their kids spend on their phones. The other third were checking their secret Tinder accounts. Iran.
What was that called? That Ashley Madison?
They probably got an app. Well, there was a security leak, and everyone's emails got released. People were finding their husbands and wives' emails when they're going, "You're divorced."
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, that was a real game changer.
Iran has unveiled its first domestically built jet fighter this week. The trick is going to be launching it with that oversized slingshot, though. Their text.
What's wrong with Iran, man?
I don't know. You've been there?
Yes.
Yes, I've been there.
Well, I've been ragdolled by a few of them on the rest of them.
I was going to say, yeah, I fought Iran.
Iran's cool, man.
I don't want to start any allegations, but I fought Iran. He was really, really, really chemically strong.
Yeah.
A 60-year-old Pennsylvania man was convicted in Florida this week for groping Minnie Mouse at Disney World. He also admitted that earlier in the day he was feeling goofy. Heaven Hill Whiskey is suing Bob Dylan's whiskey brand Heaven's Door for trademark infringement. Bob Dylan defended himself by saying, "Heaven's Door is going in the head."
All the people will get that.
I got it.
No, I don't get that.
That's how we used to
say it. Have you ever heard Bob Dylan talk, man? Dylan, you can't sings. Understand a word he says.
No, not at all.
No.
As opposed to how he sings.
Oh, and that shit as well.
Oh.
He's terrible.
He was like the rock version of a mumble rapper.
The folk version of a mumble rapper. Melania Trump attended an anti-cyberbullying conference on Friday. On the way in, she accidentally tripped on the irony. And finally this week, China has announced the birth of their first giant panda from frozen sperm. Let me guess, the sperm that was frozen, they gave a male panda a porno mag, a picture of margaritas, and everything went just like you'd think. He gave himself a pan job. That's good. Like that one.
I thought you were going to say they were going to eat him. They got like 3 billion people they've got to feed, man.
They just eat everything.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the Butcher Shop, Kayleen. And now, with the Macedonian Love God, it's time for the Vast Planet
of Athletic Endeavour.
And you are record for Usain Bolt.
Australia won the toss and they're going to bowl.
Scoring brilliant goals.
Nice hole in one on the PGA Tour.
Take it away, Stevie.
All right, Stephen, the floor is yours.
Thanks very much, Scotty. The gift that keeps on giving at the moment is Dead Set Rugby League at all levels. It is just going bananas when you look at the amount of controversy that is out there. We had the big hit on the weekend from Dylan Napa, which really has both sides of the argument polarised. Mm. Did you boys see this?
And yeah, I actually
what are your
did.
Thoughts on it?
Mm, it's a tough one. I did watch it.
It's a dog, man. It's a flying headbutt.
Yeah, so you disagree with Benny?
I think it's kind of like, you know how you're not allowed a headbutt in fighting and how we trailed. On last Wednesday, I said, put your head here.
Mm.
It's very similar.
Yeah.
Very similar. Toes align. Not a headbutt, but it's your head. It's putting your head in the right position.
So you reckon it was bad, Benny. You're saying. So you're in the middle a little bit.
Because he's got a history of it as well.
He's a repeat offender. Second time this year.
And it looks like he's just head first, top of his head.
He busted Sims's jaw last
time. He's got a shit style. The way he's
heavy hitting, yeah.
The way I see this, though, McCulloch stepped off his left and he's almost fallen into it a little bit like that. So, yeah, the fact that Napa's got him with the flying head hasn't great. But if he was still at full height, his head wouldn't have connected and he would have got him with his shoulder, banging their chest with his his arm out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it would have been, everyone would have been fine and going, what a great hit that was. So surely there's got to be. And this is one thing I took a lot of note of, was a lot of rugby league players who play in first grade here. You'd know plenty of them, Duke and boys. And like, I know a lot of boys in the Roos, a lot of the boys in the Canberra clubs. Watching their comments were all on Facebook was all about, you know, what is this now? It's a dead set accident. And you give it. So Napa's been charged with a 3-game ban as well. So if he's, there's no early guilty plea as far as I'm aware. So what's going to happen is the Roosters need to make a prelim for Dylan Napa to play again this season.
Yep.
And all of those guys, because I've never played first grade rugby league. You have, Benny. But, you know, all those guys are making the comments that this is just ridiculous, the fact that, you know, it's an accident. Why can't we accept that it's an accident? If you want to give him, you know, 1 week for a reckless or something like that, okay. But the fact that they're giving him 3 games now.
I don't think it is an accident, man.
You don't think so?
I think he winds him up with the top of his head and tries to hit him square in the jaw.
You reckon it's a headbutt?
100%.
But if he's bending over.
Poor technique like when is
he
what
hits
it
him,
is.
When he hits him in the head, he's not jumping up.
It's awesome technique. He's lowering, if you're trying to hurt the guy with the top of your head.
He's lowering down. And I mean, he's... If the person's up running up high, he's not going to get him. So it's just saying, wrong place, wrong time.
McCulloch did come straight out. I mean, they are Queensland teammates. And he came out straight away and go, oh, no, don't ban him. It was fine. I'm all good. And maybe if he'd have broken his jaw like Sims did, then you can understand it. But, yeah, you can't judge someone and give them a penalty in the game based on the injury suffered by the other person.
Yeah, look, I see where you're coming
from.
It's
not like the court of law.
No, that's right.
Yeah, you'd know from having played the game. I tend to side with Duke on this one a bit. And from reading the comments of the guys who have been there and played tough and physical rugby league every week, there was a big outcry about this being an accident. You need to settle down as well.
Yep. Even but saying, what if he did leave with a shoulder? Then the ref would probably call the bloody shoulder.
You're allowed to do that, though, if your arm out. And that was
as long as your arm out.
If your arms are out, you're allowed to shoulder charge without a locked arm to the body these days.
I think he toes the line. Very much so. Yeah. Very much
correct.
So this will keep happening.
This won't stop.
No.
Yeah.
And the only thing that will make change if someone does break the jaw again. Other than that, they'll just sting him again like that, and everyone will have a sook about it. But they won't fix that.
No.
Yeah. Let's see what the fallout is from all that. There's a fantastic listener question here from Donnie, and I really appreciate that, Donnie. So I'll address the whole Manly debacle later on, because I was going to talk about Trent Barron and what's going on there at the Seagulls, but we'll talk about that in the listener question on the paddock this weekend. St. George, I tell you what, they are the most polarising team in the comp at the moment. The sad news came out last week that our good friend Paul Vaughan won't be playing for the rest of the year, which is a big loss for the Saints. But I tell you what, after playing a really tough game last weekend, and this is prior, so going 2 weeks back now, listeners, noting this comes out today, Thursday, but going back when they beat the Tigers, that was a really gutsy win and to really turn around, you know, a tough run of losses. But now they've come into this game and got absolutely poleaxed on the weekend by the Bulldogs.
And especially
ridiculous.
The week that one of their favourite sons passed away at the age of 40, Lance Thompson.
Correct.
I think there'd be a bit of sting in their tail
but that's right.
To get trumped by the Dogs, who've had a very up and down season.
Oh, they've been ordinary.
Like, were you going to talk about
the choking tag is warranted.
Yeah, exactly. It's warranted. Right. Well, where does that leave them for the end of the season? I mean, you look at the way the ladder's set up now as well. It's very, very tight. So you've got Melbourne up the top of the comp on 34. Then you've got two teams on 32. And then the rest of them all on 30 points. So you've got...
There's a good chance they play Penrith, in the finals.
Well, it could depend though, Duke. You've got five teams on 30 from fourth all the way down to eighth. You've got the Roosters and the Rabbits on 32, so they can probably leapfrog each other. And then you've got the rest of them all underneath. That's Penrith,
St.
George.
But still, it's only 4 points between the first Sharks. And eighth. It's pretty tight.
It is. It's a tight competition. The eight has been settled as well. The West Tigers did have a chance of making that top eight, but that's
it is tight,
now.
But it's not tight on form, is it? It's tight on points, but it's not
correct.
Tight on form. There's a big differentiation between the couple of these form teams that are hitting their stride now.
Yeah, well, the Dragons did their usual thing, lose the charity shield, win the comp in May, and then choke for the rest of the year.
Very strange, isn't it?
And if you want to talk about history, they've got plenty of that, don't they, Scotty?
Bloody oath,
they've done that over and over in recent years.
I'm just happy the Knights aren't getting the spoon this year. Sucked in Parramatta.
Poor Para.
Hey, not even us at Manly, as bad as we've been, can get it now, I don't think, because of how bad Parramatta have been. JT's last game as well was another big talking point on the weekend. So team-wise, the Broncos really impressed me. They went down to the SFS and gave the Roosters a real touch-up. They were never really in any trouble in that game as well, so they've put themselves and stamped a marker as title contenders.
Now, did you want to touch on Fafita and Dugan?
I was going to say that as well. That was another topic. We'll go to Lance Thompson next, Benny, and you can talk about that one.
We don't want to bring up other podcasts, other fighter podcasts, but I think it's great, actually. The half-cast podcast.
Yeah.
Ty
and Tyson.
It's a pretty funny thing.
Even the podcast thing, we're...
We're not in competition because we're not competing for a time slot.
No,
everyone just listens to the stuff in their own time.
They want to listen to as many as they can.
Rogan Adam Carolla, they always speak about
promote each other's podcasts.
But everyone, so we're just all just a community, man. There's no problem playing, especially Ty and Tyson. They're bloody great blokes, man.
And it's interesting. I think the problem with what Dugan and Fifita did, they sort of because they've got such a good style of podcasting, Ty and Tyson, where they've got that's just friendly having a chat, talking a bit of crap.
Hold on.
We can't just.
I'm not just in the back.
And spray it was, though, dude. Epic spray.
What was it?
What's his name? Buzz
Rothfield.
Buzz Rothfield. Yeah. So they're pretty much saying.
Oh, he's real anti UFC.
Because Buzz.
Dana White called him Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, because he's so anti UFC. You know what?
Buzz is a Sharks supporter. They're two Sharks players.
Yeah, and so he's anti UFC. And then so Tyson already off him. Then they've brought him up to Dugan and Fifita. And they've fed him.
Yeah.
They've fed him on the podcast. So now Fifita and Dugan, they got dragged over the coals. That.
But you know what? Buzz Rothfield's an old journo.
Do you know what?
He'd love that.
Yeah.
He'd love that.
Because it's publicity for him, though. Yeah. You're right, Scotty. It's bringing him straight back in the limelight.
He returned fire on Twitter and just completely hacked both of them, brought up all their dirty laundry.
I mean, he's on the NRL 360 every Monday night, Buzz.
That's
and
correct.
I love Paul Kent, too, because they've got the balls to say what they want to say. They're not politically correct.
He sounded like, because he went to the Ronda Rousey. Did an article after the Ronda Rousey fight in Melbourne.
He's done a few of those things. November, he's been on Super Bowl of late as well, stuff like that.
Yeah, and he's just, it sounded like someone watching the UFC for the first time in the early 90s. Yeah, and having no idea what they're looking at.
Paul Kent is the one they need to see because he's a big fan of combat sports. Correct. He boxes and stuff like that. So Paul Kent's the guy that should be sent to all those. Leave Buzz to the rugby league, which he knows extremely well.
It's just such a hypocritical thing for someone to come out, a fan of rugby league, which is very rough, to come out and make fun of combat sport.
And you don't even understand. The rules.
If you don't understand it, then don't
comment.
You'd defend rugby league like everyone's defended MMA. Yeah, so I'm off him. I'll be off him.
But
it's interesting. Yeah, Dugan and Fifita fed him on the podcast.
What they say?
They were calling him a leathery old they'll make fun of his name and they were making fun. They said, "I don't know how he has a job, regular job on Fox Sports, and he should be in the media."
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What was the word? I can't remember what it was. It was like he's an old wanker or something. They'd always
absolute. No, they called him a fuckwit.
Yeah, they called him.
That's right. It was. What'd
they call
him? A fuckwit.
Yeah, they called him.
Yeah, so
it's four edits.
But look, it wasn't the only indiscretion from Fifita in the week, though. He sprayed up Jim Dimmick after going over a couple of weeks ago.
They reckon it was Shane Flanagan. They reckon it was actually.
Yeah.
And then they got in his ear after the game. That's what some people are alleging. They're saying, "Oh, well, mate, just say you said this," and because he was going, giving the finger and everything, you know.
Fifita is a dick.
Yeah,
the guy's got a mass amount of talent, but he just goes pear shaped all the time. It's just
the only thing I will say about
Fifita
is he was at one of the fight shows I did in Sydney. I'm going to say about a year ago now, and he was in the crowd, and I actually had a chat with him, and he was a decent bloke.
You know what? He also went after a 16-year-old referee at a junior rugby league game. The guy's a fucking muppet.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Well, that's a fair call. I'm just speaking. Yeah, no, that's a fair call, and that is proven. That was in the paper.
Yeah,
he got a ban for that, though, didn't
he? He did.
In person, to me, he was okay, but yes, you can see how this list of indiscretions.
You just come up, say, "Hey, how are you? What's going on? See you later. Most people are pretty.
Doesn't that say something to your character if you go after a 16-year-old junior referee?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It should be a complete grub or muppet, which are your two favorite insults. And most of the time on a first meeting with someone in a casual environment, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Last two things about rugby league, boys. Lance Thompson, Benny, you want to make some comments about that? This is a really strange one.
I just don't know what happened.
They still haven't announced it yet.
That's
because
when
I saw it initially, it had all the Lifeline stuff underneath. But then I saw afterwards. The cop said
nothing suspicious.
He passed away 40. Obviously, super ridiculously fit guys. Like he's probably the best guy ever to not play in a grand final and a rep team for Australia. But then they said afterwards that I read a possible heart condition or something as well.
Yes, I think it was something like that because they've ruled out the suicide side of things or the personal harm, but then they've also ruled out anything suspicious in terms of murder or some sort of
incident.
Well,
his daughter walked
like
in
that.
And found him.
Yeah, found him at 6 a.m. or something very early like that.
He was just the epitome of like a reliable forward.
He was just tough, no-nonsense forward.
And like he's... like ball. Like, never seen him drop a ball. Like, his highlight reel, just catching impossible passes and just missed the consistency, man.
Very sad. We'll see what
happens.
He's
only 40.
Yeah, 40 is his age, mate. Yeah, so very sad. We'll see what happens when the final autopsy results come out. But very sad. We'll finish off with the rugby league chat. Local rugby league, the grand final has been decided. Bit of an upset in my mind. The Bushies got through yesterday. 22 points to nil. Absolutely smoked up. West Ball Connor. When the finals were announced, in my mind, and especially after they touched up the Roos last week, I thought West Belconnen would be definitely the team to beat. Good, solid team that are run well.
They've got final experience as well.
So now it's Bushies against Woden in there. It's the All Southern affair,
which is great. Wouldn't have picked
that at the start of the
year. Justin Guido's done a good job.
Yeah, exactly right.
Was that at the Rams or the Bushies?
No, the Bushies. He's the coach.
Yeah, exactly.
He'd be an awesome coach, man. He was the captain when I was at the Blues.
Yeah,
mate, he was the smallest guy on the field, the most consistent
but well organised. That's it.
And we'd see him off season just doing hill sprints by himself in the Oval. He's an absolute epitome.
He's a gentleman,
When's that, Steve? This Saturday?
That's Sunday? Coming up this Sunday, Seaford Sunday. Oval, Duke. Yeah, Sunday at Seaford Oval. The Queanbeyan Blues are in the reserve grade grand final as well, which is before that. But yeah, speaking about that though, Benny, Gitz brought the Bushies to Queanbeyan 3 weeks ago, so just prior to the end of the season. And they got tailed up 44 points to 6. They really got smashed up in Queanbeyan. And then
they had a couple of weeks, they had a falter.
That's when Gitz used
to play for Queanbeyan, didn't want to train his guys that well.
Perhaps.
But it's good to get it out of your system now. Now they're peaking for the right time of the final.
Well, that's it. It'll be a big grand final as well, and something very different as well for the Canberra Raiders Cup comp itself. Moving on, boys, let's talk quickly about AFL. Their season has finished up now, so you have the top eight set and all the finals. They'll have a week off this weekend before they begin their finals campaign, and they also do that to get back in line with the NRL finals and then have the Saturday AFL grand final followed by the Sunday NRL grand final. So first game of the finals, we'll see Richmond coming up against Hawthorn Thursday. So 1 week from today, you'll see Richmond up against Hawthorn, the MCG, and expect that to be an absolute blockbuster contest. The rest of the games in the finals, you have the West Coast Eagles hosting Collingwood in the second qualifying final over there in Perth, and then you also have the Sydney Derby. Sydney Swans will host GWS there in Sydney at the SCG.
Is that the elimination final?
That's the elimination final. Yeah. And then the final elimination final sees the Melbourne Demons, first time in the finals for a very long time, hosting the Geelong Cats. Interestingly, though, over the weekend, we saw the Bombers win again. Another good performance against Port Adelaide. But the biggest interesting part about that is what happened with the Bombers is they're only team in the competition to lose to the bottom six over three times. If they had have won those games, they probably would have finished top four. So that was pretty disappointing for them. Richmond have won their last three games by 3 points, 8 points, and 3 points. Very, very tight games against some tough teams. They beat the Bombers. They beat the Bulldogs over the weekend. So they've had some tough tests, which actually might put them in good stead for when those final series start. So interesting to see how that all pans out in the AFL. As we mentioned a few times in the last few weeks, I can't see anyone getting past Richmond. They're far too good at the moment. But let's see how that all pans out. Rugby Championship over the weekend, boys. I was pretty disgusted, if I'm honest, in that performance again. I'm looking forward to hearing what Duke has to say about this.
I didn't watch the game. I just woke up to a very sad mental health day.
Compounded by the fact that the Wallabies just got completely touched up again. I mean, we're in the game again up until sort of half time. You know, 7-7 coming up to the halfway point.
Fly half's putting four tries on you. There's a problem.
You've got a big problem. Exactly right. Now, the big story to come out of this, though, Duke, is the pressure on Michael Checker. He's been absolutely sprayed up.
He's just spraying back as well, though.
By the media,
that typical New South Wales arrogance. He's just going, Surely you guys can't be accusing me of not wanting to win.
Did you see his comments after the game, though, Duke? He was questioned about, in your head, are you doing an assessment of what your situation is in terms of hanging about as Australian coach? And he goes, mate, if you think that I'm thinking about that, you need to go get some pills and sort your head out or something like that. That was his comments. That's not me paraphrasing it word for word, but that is exactly what I read today. I do remember that word. Go and take a pill and sort your head out, because if you're thinking that I'm thinking about it, go back and look at the last Wallaby 7 test. They've been pumped by Ireland twice. New Zealand's now pumped us twice.
England
beat us over there in the spring tour. But Scotland beat us over there in the spring tour. Like, Steve, we're struggling.
He's under pressure. Who's going to replace him?
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
Who have we got quality?
There's no obvious candidate.
Markham?
Too green, I think, though, Duke. Mm. Yeah. There's no obvious candidate to come out and replace him at the moment. But what that means for us now, I guess he's got now the next four games to really try and patch it up. He's got four games, two against South Africa, two against Argentina before the final Bledisloe game against New Zealand in Yokohama, to really get the public back on his side. Because after after that, we go on another spring tour. And then if we get pumped again, I think there'll be a real movement for change in and go, okay, World Cup.
We've got a World Cup coming up, yeah. So.
Yeah, so that was really disappointing for Australia. I mean, there's a week off now before we go around again in the next of the Rugby Championship games.
Bloody but, better win some other games, I tell you.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be more depression for Australian rugby. Okay, yeah.
Look, it is a tall order to beat All Blacks right now. They're at the pinnacle of world rugby.
They're the pinnacle of world sport and have been for such a long time.
And you know they have been for a while, and they're continually they're peaking.
Yeah.
So they're firing on all cylinders. So to beat them's a tall order. But I mean, we better beat them.
But you
can be
competitive though. Oh yeah. Just
I mean, and we normally are. I mean, even last year we were competitive.
Yeah.
This is just very sad.
I tell you what, there's some interesting moments in that game as well. When you see David Pocock, he's a very real. Yeah, libertarian when it comes to his fellow colleagues, like taking care of people. And there was a time as well, I can't remember who it was, but they've gone in a tackle and he's asked the ref to check on the opposition player's health. It might have been because of what happened to Ryan Crotty last week, but check on his health, make sure he's okay after.
Yeah, he's a good sport, isn't he?
Quality human.
Conversely to that, though, there was a situation where, and it's come out afterwards through the footage, where there's a lot of neck twisting in the ruck as well. And they're saying that's something he's complained about during the super season as well. But it's something that the referees probably need to have a look at, because apparently after the game, his neck was, you know, nigh on broken. It was so stiff and he couldn't move. His neck from being
training
twisted.
With the Melbourne Storm.
Yeah, I was going to say, what rugby league went through a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
The only way to fix it is like what Manly did when they kept getting grappled tackled. They just pounced on him. It was all in brawls.
Yeah.
And that's the only way to fix it, because otherwise they won't get the attention.
Yeah.
So that was very interesting. But in the other game over the weekend, Argentina knocked off South Africa. Huge ball over in my mind. It's only their fourth victory in about 35 rugby championship tests. So good on them. This was at the Estadio Malvinas in Argentina, a blitzkrieg in the first half, 27 points to 7 up. But for Argentina, that's a big win, and it goes to show that these teams are hopefully improving, you know, that world standard of rugby. Can Argentina continue to do it? We'll see. I mean, they, with all due respect, they won't stand a chance against the All Blacks, but you know, if they can even put on a show against us as well, you know, they're half a chance of beating us down there in Argentina as well. So good on them for getting that victory under their belts, and we'll see the Rugby Championship back in a few weeks.
I'll just touch on while we're just finishing up with the rugby. Yeah, just saw today Benny Alexander retired as well.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Most capped Brumbies player of all time.
Yeah,
great bloke.
And great blokes. Over 70 Wallaby tests.
His name,
absolute legend.
His name is Ben Edward Alexander, and mine's
Ben Alexander Edwards.
And neither of these guys have got
you
a neck.
You two should kiss.
Hey, you're Bay and he's B.
you could be related. You're very similar.
Yeah, I've got bloody eyes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I got a full head of hair, man. But I love you, Benny. Happy retirement.
He's got a full head of hair, too. He's got the same hairstyle as you.
He's got a seven head.
Same no neck. he came through when we were all training at Lead Physique. He was there as well. He didn't have to be there.
He's a great bloke.
He was doing his extras in there training with Billy Jean.
And I've worked for him at the dock. He's a great bloke.
Great bloke. And an absolute, you know, rugby.
I got to say,
legend.
Rugby union guys are heaps nicer than league guys.
Are they?
And that's coming from a leaguey.
Oh, I look at Duke as that comment.
We are. Yes, we are.
It's definitely a white collar sport. Rugby league. Oh, yeah. We're struggling.
Thanks, game. Played in heaven.
Overnight, so the last couple of days, the US Open has begun as well. At the time of recording this, it hasn't started, but there will be some results that are filtered through at your time of listening, listeners. So Nick Kyrgios has come out and said that he's going to try and stay away from the hustle and bustle of New York City, because apparently it gives him a bit of anxiety and he wants to keep it nice and quiet. Aww, so the soundbites coming out of this is just, look... Oh. You know, like I've said, I've wanted to back this guy and support him as much as possible over the time, but the indiscretions just pile up. Let's hope there's no issues. He has a deep run and does something good for tennis.
Let's hope he lives up to the potential that everyone says he's got.
That's right, and everyone backs him and says that he's got all the potential. Yeah. Now, there's a new serve clock which is coming to play for this one as well, boys, so that's going to be very, very interesting.
Oh, like
interesting.
The shot clock in footy,
the shot clock for the serve. Yeah. So what they did in the last few years, they've had
Why have they brought this in? People taking too long?
Just taking too long.
Is Rafa going to have to change his little routine?
Yes, that's correct, and Novak's going to have to stop bouncing the ball 37 times before he takes a serve, stuff like that.
Yeah. So that can really throw people off.
What they've done, Ben, in the last few years, they've implemented it where the umpire has had the ability to intervene if he deems it being too long.
Just need to do it at the end of a boxing round, seconds down.
Ding, 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 seconds down. But the issue with that, though, Benny, was that it was too subjective. The umpires are like, I think I need to do it now. It's a set clock.
How long?
I think it's 25 seconds.
From
the end of the point, 25 seconds.
That's enough time to bloody get set.
Well, it's enough time to walk, wipe your head with a towel, and then go back and get set to serve.
Or if you're a rapper, it's not enough time to tap your nose twice, scratch your ass, play your groin, tap your elbow.
Pull your undies out of your balls, get in your bum, all that sort of stuff. So, fourth major of the year, Andy Murray as well, also back after.
And we lost Duke. We had him all this time. It's been his best effort ever.
Some lovely ladies.
What was that? Where are we?
Some lovely ladies just sent him a text.
He's back in the classroom.
There he is.
Back in the classroom.
West Open, that's a big one that's happening. Over the weekend in the V8 Supercars, we saw Jamie Whincup get the victory at what was the debut of the Tailem Bend.
Tailem Bend
in Adelaide in South Australia. So that was over the weekend.
But is that new track?
New circuit.
Yeah, it's part of the Supercars.
One of the biggest ones in the, like behind Bathurst, it's the biggest one in Australia.
How long is Bathurst?
6.21 kilometres.
Yeah, this one's 4.95, I think, Scotty. It is a long course down there.
What? I'm a bloody meathead V8 fan.
I've
driven around Bathurst in my club.
I've been on Conrod Strait.
Yeah.
We had like a school camp up the end there. We were like learning how to pan for gold. And we had to go up Conrod.
Yeah.
I was like 9. We were flying up there.
Going to Bathurst.
Flying up Conrod in the school bus.
So the big winner, though, that was Van Gisbergen, though. He's extended his lead at the top of the championship, 19 points, after Scott McLaughlin, his closest challenger, finished in 10th place. So that's heating up towards the back end of the year now, the V8s. And as we know, we do have Bathurst coming up in around about, I think it's 6 weeks' time, Scotty.
Yeah,
Bathurst
Sunday in October.
Second Sunday in October, always. Sunday the 7th of
6.21
October.
6.21 Ks. What's the elevation?
And they drive V8s.
427 metres.
Yeah, thanks, mate. I don't know. I think it's about 600 from the bottom of the track to the top. It's about 600 metres elevation.
Yeah.
And you don't realise until you drive around it, and even doing 60 k's now around it, just coming down through the cutting, how full on that track is.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is crazy. Yeah. So a couple of little soundbites to finish off, boys. The English Premier League is the only league in Europe at the moment now, as I understand, that hasn't implemented the video assistant referee.
I knew this was going to be a long segment because you actually got notes for this one.
I've got a couple of little notes for this one. I had to, mate. It's a big one. But just as quickly on this is the whole point of the VARs that came out in the World Cup was to actually assist with getting the howlers right. So if happens, you want to do that. Manchester City drew on the weekend. They're the best team by a mile in England, and in Europe probably they're going to go close to winning the European Cup this year. But their first goal that was scored by Bowley of Wolverhampton Wanderers was clearly handled in. So he's gone down for a header, put the arm out, he's handled that, and the ball's rolled into the net. So that ended up as a 1-1 draw. Their coach Guardiola was pretty calm about it. He didn't lose his bollocks as you may have when something goes against you like that. So that was interesting to see. Liverpool continued their perfect start to the season with a 1-0 win over Brighton, and you also had Watford winning as well. So they're the only teams out of 3 from 3 to start the year, along with Chelsea, who beat Newcastle away 2-1. Finally, wanted to talk about the Super Netball Grand Final that happened yesterday.
It's all right, Wombat. The soccer talk's finished.
Yeah. Don't worry, mate. Oh, soccer talk's finished. Netball.
This is for all of our wonderful...
I'll see you later.
Yeah. This is for all of our wonderful netball supporters out there, men and
all
women.
All three of you.
So that finished yesterday with the Sunshine Coast Lightning. They secured their second title in a row, beating the West Coast Fever 62-59 in Perth. And interestingly as well, there's some big news that come out of New Zealand netball was that Maria Folau, the wife of Israel Folau, who's a well over 100 caps for New Zealand, one of the great players of New Zealand netball, there's a big chance she'll be coming over to play for the Giants next year.
Imagine those kids.
Now lives in
that is some ultimate breeding,
isn't it? What exactly right? So the fact that she's now living here in Sydney, in Australia, with her husband Israel, there's a big chance that she'll be playing in Australian netball next year.
Yeah, nice.
So that's a big one, and that's the end of a big vast planet for this week. Thanks, Duke, for hanging around for most of that.
I almost left.
Yeah.
Thanks to the Butcher Shop, Kayleen. You've downloaded the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Benny, Steve, and Duke. Don't ask us how it works, just be glad it does. He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow!
So now it's time for Ben's Biff-O-Rama.
That's insane in the membrane.
Benny, she's all yours.
Well, as I spoke about a few weeks ago, the Conor and Khabib undercard had absolutely nothing on there, but they finally started to
load it up. Yep.
They finally got some people on there. Yeah, no, it's loading up pretty quick. The main one I want to talk about is Tony Ferguson versus Anthony Pettis.
Good fight.
Yeah, two murderous.
Journeyman?
Pettis is a former champion, that was back in 2013, and Ferguson
but
won
Tony
the
Ferg,
interim.
Though, yeah.
I just meant they've been around a lot. They've been around a fair while.
Yeah, but
while,
they're not a journeyman. Yeah.
Ferguson's undefeated.
Yeah, mate, Ferguson's awesome. He's nuts.
Ferguson was embroiled in that big spat 6 months ago, though, Benny, as well, remember? But the fight didn't happen.
No. So he was supposed to... Yeah, well, he was out against Khabib because he hurt his knee. He tripped over a power cord.
Yeah, that's right.
Doing media on fight week.
Yeah, on fight weeks.
Yeah, wow.
And he, with the
lost
power
his
cord,
big opportunity,
he tore his LCL, and that is usually a 9 month recovery for any like knee ligament. We've all had mates. It's usually about nine months. And I've even after 9 months, they're usually not 100% confident. I've got a mate, Stoy, who's like 14 months, and he's still not confident going side to side.
I've Tony done both Ferguson. My knees, Benny. I'll back you on that. It's ridiculous. Well, and unless you're backed by a full professional sporting team to look after you, mate, you ain't come back anywhere before.
Yeah. Well, that was before 2-2-3 that he hurt himself.
Yep.
Tony Ferguson, 3 weeks and 4 days after his surgery, was breakdancing and doing flips and everything.
Wow.
He's a lunatic. He's a weirdo, yeah.
He'd be like obsessed crazy. Like he's got awesome jiu-jitsu.
Cardio for days.
Yeah. Or mate, Eddie Bravo reckons he just rolls all day. Like you never seen him anything close to tired. And a lot of people are saying because it's on the Conor Khabib undercard, they're using that as a bit of an insurance policy because Ferguson versus Khabib or Conor. Well, Tony's probably at the top of the heap.
Well, I'll tell you what, that'll be the fifth time they've tried to do Khabib versus Tony.
Yeah.
And Dana said,
I ain't doing it again, extreme circumstances.
And the other thing is, and if he did Tony versus Conor, that's fine as well. Because that's a cool fight too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look, honestly, we want Khabib versus Conor, but if anything else comes through, like honestly, I'll be happy with whatever we get with the mix of those four guys, Pettis, Tony, Khabib, and Conor. Well, Pettis, I'm happy. As a fight fan, I'm happy.
Pettis got offered the Khabib fight last time when Khabib's opponent pulled out, Ally Quintus stepped in, but he wanted like a stupid amount of money.
Because he knew he was going to get bashed.
So yeah, absolutely. Like Pettis'
I'd
style.
I'd want plenty if I knew I was going to get hammered.
Pettis' style.
What about
style?
Pettis coming off a loss trying to fight Tony Ferguson? That's gutsy, man.
Yeah, but I think stylistically it's a much better matchup. Pettis' main losses are to guys that are pretty good wrestlers and like Khabib.
Mm.
Everyone says he's the best wrestler in MMA. I reckon he's second best in the lightweight division behind Kevin Lee. I reckon Kevin Lee is going to be the next big thing. I think Kevin Lee's style,
Khabib's style is better in the clinch, whereas Kevin Lee shoots in a lot more.
Yeah.
So I Khabib on the ground.
Khabib's more of a Greco style.
Yeah. Mm. It was Sambo. Yeah, Sambo, that's what he is. But Kevin Lee's more of a shoots.
Yeah.
And he's got that explosiveness. Yeah. But with that explosiveness comes holes, whereas Khabib's got that mauling.
Like fatigue. Like Khabib go all day. Kevin Lee's super explosive and strong super explosive, and may not be the fittest.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we spoke about Max Holloway. That's awesome.
CTE.
Yeah. And he had to pull out of his title fight a few months. It was only at the start of July. This being late August, he had to pull out with like concussion like symptoms. It was noticed like during his heaps of media interviews, he was not all there. He looked sleepy. We played some audio on here with Michael Bisping, called him live on TV on Fox Sports. He's rebooked for Brian Ortega. It is going to be in December, for the title, but they actually haven't said anything about a brain injury or nothing. So obviously he's cleared all his tests. I think they must have just put it down to a concussion.
Yeah,
but that's some scary stuff.
Doesn't and this worry you though, Benny? Doesn't this worry you? This is the type of thing where he's okay.
Yeah,
now,
but that's the thing with brain scans. All brain scans tell you if you're bleeding or swollen.
This is what I'm talking about. This is the information you've given us in the past about
how
it only picks up
tons of stuff,
injury or not. Yeah. As opposed to what are the long term effects and problems.
Yeah, that's why I don't spar hard. Everyone that knows me, I don't spar like crazy hard. A lot of people spar hard all the time.
You'd never
be sparring
partners if you spar hard. I'd be dead for sure.
But that's why
Penny's got the African second regiment here to help him at the moment.
The last 2 years, Duke and I have sparred every Friday. And I've buzzed him a couple of times.
But that's what I mean.
Not enough.
We both come back. Still talking, but imagine still not slurring.
If we sparred hard every Friday, I'd have 3 broken arms every week and he'd be
brain dead.
It's so dumb. And really think that's going to be a sea change that's come with a new sport like MMA where they're going to change our sparring. I reckon eventually it's going to transfer across to boxing because boxers get ruined
in sparring,
the gym.
Don't they? Okay, so how much of an effect does it have on you guys as a fighter if you're not actually... So if there is a sea change like this, how much of an effect does it have on you as a fighter if you can't actually get that in-game experience
in
your training?
None. It's just a mental thing. I didn't... All the old school boxers used to say, if you don't spar hard, you don't fight hard. Yeah, really? There's a guy trying to knock my head off. I can't go hard though because I didn't spar hard. That's so dumb. That is so dumb. There's a guy attacking me. I am going 100%.
Yeah.
It's like at footy training. You're not smashing each other with 100% tackle.
No.
You're getting through it, trying to get to the game healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So I reckon that, especially if you've had a few fights, and you've had 3 or 4 or 5 fights under your belt, you know what the
What's
speed
required.
Of a fight is. You know, okay, game on, it's time to go 100%. and you can get your timing in while just cruising along with, like, mate, you're going to get hit, you're going to get blood nosy, you might even get concussed occasionally. If you, it's a dangerous sport. There's no doubt about that. The object is to hurt your opponent. But you can minimise those risks. Yes. And I really think that is going to be a huge change. Well, I hope it's a huge change.
In boxing. Well, it is in our training camps. Anyway.
Yeah, but that's the thing with MMA, especially in the last couple of years and all the awareness of CTE, people are just training smarter, not hard, not that meathead style. Like, I took more damage. I've said this a million times. In my 3 boxing fights, I took more damage in training than I've had in 50 kickboxing fights.
Yeah.
Because
we
don't spar hard in kickboxing.
Yeah.
We just play. We get our timing in, which is what the Thais do as well. But in boxing, it's very American style. It's tons of sparring, not a lot of pads. In Australia, where with kickboxing, we're very Thai style, a lot of pads, not a lot of sparring.
Mm-hmm.
We get the best of both worlds.
Well, me and Ben were just discussing with my style. He said, I'm responding better to lots of sparring as opposed to the pad work.
But we can spar every week because he's concussed.
Yeah.
And he's not panicking. He's not stressing out. I hit him and he's like, oh, I made a mistake there. I'm going to have to put my hand up.
Move this.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So you have to do sparring. It's a simulation of a fight, but you can play spar and just play tips and be a high level, the highest level fighter you can. There's tons of UFC guys that do it. There's a UFC, he did fight in the UFC, but he was more of a Japanese MMA legend. He fought in K1, he fought in Pride. His name was Kid Yamamoto. Now, he's actually 41 now, and his real name's Nori Yamamoto, but he's just been diagnosed with cancer, which is another Japanese. I know cancers, we all know some, and it's horrific. But, man, there's something in Japan with younger guys, young fit guys contracting cancer. Japanese debut was against a guy, I'm sure I've said this story before, was against a guy called Nobu Hayashi, and he got diagnosed with cancer I think it was way back in 2010, and he's still going. But I remember talking to him, they thought it was going to be fatal in 2012. He came to my fight against Ricardo Vandenbos in Holland, and I was talking to his trainer, Tom Harrink, who's a legend, trained Peter Hertz and all that, and we're all sitting at a table just hanging out, and Tom said, yeah, I just wanted to bring Nobu here for the last time because he's going to die soon. And Nobu understood what he said. Full samurai, just like, yep, I'm going to be dead soon. But he's still hanging in there.
Whoa.
Tough as nails. So,
do you reckon it's got something, this isn't being flippant at all, do you reckon it's got something to do from the nukes?
Mate, there's something going on.
Yeah,
there's something going on.
All Nagasaki and Hiroshima
and Nagasaki
destroyed, and cancer rates went through the roof for 20, 30 years.
Fukushima and that in 20 years. I've seen some horrific stats on that.
Yeah.
All the best for Kid Yamamoto. Just one final, some boxing news here. We had the Aussie Luke Jackson fight for the WBO flyweight title in Belfast against Carl Frampton. Now, Carl Frampton, man, for a little dude, he's only just over 50 kilos, he can crack. He actually stopped Luke Jackson for the first time in his professional career in the 9th round. His corner threw in the towel. It was a great stoppage. But they found that after the fight, they had 2 perforated eardrums.
Holy shit.
So both his eardrums have been torn in a boxing fight by a guy just over 50 kilos. So
wow.
It just goes to show you can have like 100 different people, same body type, same size, same reach, same everything, and they can have completely different skill sets. I just find that really interesting.
So do I. Yeah.
And one last funny thing to finish off with, the Premier Boxing Championships, are they on Showtime, Payos?
I think
PBC. It's been like boxing's biggest run lately. They're on pretty often on mainstream. Is it mainstream? Yeah, Showtime, mainstream.
Showtime is mainstream. But which fight are you about to talk about, though?
The Walkout?
Yeah, the Walkout.
That was on
the
Fox Walkout. Sports. No, that's through Fox Sports.
Yeah, so that's mainstream TV. This has like been boxing's biggest push.
Yeah,
he's walked out of the ring 1 second into the fight.
Crazy scene.
Just to protest the amount of money he was getting paid. So it doesn't it doesn't look good for boxing, but if you're going to do that, you have that sorted 3 months before the fight.
You think so?
All the YouTube videos are going, oh, a boxer gets scared and walks out. And it had nothing to do with that.
That's only people that have no idea what they're talking about.
Correct.
This guy's not protesting
against money.
He's had tons of fights.
Did you see his trainer came out, though, afterwards and sprayed him up, though, big time? He goes, you embarrassed me, you've embarrassed your wife, you've embarrassed your fans.
I think it's embarrassing. If you're not happy with what you're getting paid, you sort that out.
Beforehand.
The moment you step in the ring, it's disrespectful to you.
That's the good thing about the cage. You've got to climb over the top. It's too bloody hard to get out. Once you're locked in,
you would look scared.
You got to pick the padlock. Yeah, you would look scared. You can't just walk out of the cage. So
you got the audio.
Here's the audio of it. Have a listen.
Gentlemen, you can work right here. It's good. It's good right here. I gave you guys your instruction in the dressing room. I expect a clean fight and protect yourself at all times. Let's touch up. Good luck to both of you guys.
It is a heavyweight matchup. I'm going to let you know when that man fights Efe Ajagba, do not blink. Of his five professional bouts, four of them have been done in the first round. So he likes to bring an end to opponents in quick fashion. And Curtis Harper has walked out of the ring.
Wait, what?
I cannot believe this.
I've never seen this before.
He walked out of the ring.
He's not fighting this guy.
He walked out of the ring.
I've never seen it before in my life.
Curtis Harper has walked out of the ring.
And the fans here in Minnesota are really upset right now because...
Well, the Brooks could have painted a picture. It was a portrait of destruction anyway, so he probably saw that same portrait.
Curtis Harper is on his way to the dressing room and is walking out of the ring. So I would
I've never
that
seen
forfeit.
This. They forfeited the match.
I cannot believe this.
I have never...
Yeah, that was bizarre.
It's just
footage
bizarre.
You
and
week.
Speaking
yeah.
of bizarre boxing, Logan
Paul
vs. KSI.
Can someone explain this to me, please, boys?
Who they are.
This is the only thing you, that I don't know what's going on in world boxing.
I'm
YouTubers.
With Payos because I don't know. What
so Logan Paul and KSI.
Listen to these
people.
Logan Paul.
These guys are YouTube guys.
What's
make
a YouTube phenomenon? What's that?
Have you heard of guys like Casey Neistat and Peter McKinnon?
No.
So these guys that make their income off YouTube. They make little YouTube videos and lots of people watch them.
What do they? I could do that. Me and Scotty could do that. But what do
you
do?
What do? They put up videos.
They put up content.
So they make content, they make videos.
They get sponsored,
and like
they get endorsements.
These guys are making squillions.
Well, what are the videos of?
Well, Peter McKinnon and Casey Neistat both started doing...
Like blogs, no, like blogging. And
yeah, like a personal...
Yeah, just personal.
Yeah, like a video diary.
There's my missus watches an Irish family who've made millions from it.
Yeah, but they also do tech reviews and unboxing. So Casey Neistat and Peter McKinnon now, both filmmakers, both photographers, things like that. So anytime there's a new camera, a new drone, these guys get sent them by the companies and they do an unboxing review and show you all the specs. So guys like me... I do, man. Guys like me who buy drones and cameras for my business, I go and check their channels to see what
they're
say.
Every time you click on there, because advertisers advertise on their YouTube
as well.
So advertisers advertise on their channel.
Casey Neistat
so that's how they make the income.
7 million subscribers. Peter McKinnon has got about 3 million.
So I had
on YouTube.
A little look in the backstory of this one. So that KSI is a YouTuber.
This is a Biffarama hijack.
Yeah. Well, no, with absolute like it's novelty boxing.
Yeah.
But these guys have made so much money. Apparently, they've made they split 100 million between them. For this fight, sold out Wembley Stadium, didn't they?
Yeah,
800,000 pay per views.
Yeah, they had 20,000
people. They fought.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, six round boxing.
It went four rounds. It was a draw. So they're going to do it again.
Majority draw. Fights.
Anyway, Logan Paul's the one that went to the Japanese forest, the suicide forest. And
I saw a doco on that.
He was the guy that went there and was making jokes about it.
Yeah.
And so this KSI, in the height of all this publicity he's getting,
called him out
of boxing. So this is all translated into more attention.
Loser
for the
goes to the forest permanently.
Forever. Anyways, so they had a fight and it was like, just a scrappy,
What's the Japanese suicide two leggies?
There's this massive forest everyone goes to, and there's all these like cars that just park there. People go there to hang themselves and stuff.
Yeah, it's people when people go to pass away.
Yeah,
but yeah, lots of people want to see Logan Paul get his head punched.
And that's because of that. So anyway, these guys made squillions of dollars.
Scotty, let's start a YouTube thing, huh? Let's just start making videos every week. I'll review.
Payos, no one wants to see your dick pics.
I'm going to stop sending them to you, mate.
But no, seriously, like you go check out.
Payos shows them in person.
I'll send you some links. You check out some like the Casey Neistat stuff.
So can we do something then?
Of course you can, man.
Come up with something. We'll start vlogging and
knock yourself out. Set up a YouTube channel.
Knock yourself out. Yeah. Give yourself an uppercut.
Give yourself an uppercut. I'm interested to see you just get you have to be decent whatever content you're making for people to
correct. Learn. Correct, man. There's a lot of work and a lot of effort. Like guys like Casey Neistat and Peter McKinnon, their content is next level.
Let's just invent the new fidget spinner.
Okay.
Seriously, that'd be good too.
Easy.
If you could just appeal to a lot of idiot people, man, you can make money.
I don't know where this has gone, but let's get out
of
this.
And that's Biffarama.
Need advice? You've come to the wrong place. It's listener question time.
All right, Steve, this one is levelled at you this week. Donnie on the email says, Steve, I know you're a Manly fan. What do you think of the Trent Barrett situation and his allegations across the weekend?
And what is the Trent Barrett situation?
Yeah, cover it for us. It keeps changing.
Well, he's resigned as Manly coach.
Donnie, right, thank you very much for this great question. This was something I was going to bring up in the Vast Planet earlier, but great listener question gives me a chance and a soapbox to go on a bit of a rant and talk about the issue. So just to appraise you, Duke, and Benny somewhat, if
which
you
is,
need to know what's happened.
It's nice to be appraised.
Yeah, it is. That's always the best way.
Say it
so
again.
Manly have had a pretty poor season as it stands, sitting in 15th place, second last on the competition. Not many wins at all and have hardly played any good football for the season. The only real standout for us, and this is going to sound funny, was Daly Cherry-Evans in Origin 3. The fact that the club hasn't had any major standouts has been a real disappointment. There's been all sorts of tension at the club for the last 3 to 4 months between the coach, Trent Barrett, who's come from Penrith as an assistant a few years back, and the hierarchy of the board. So Scott Penn is a millionaire family who runs the club. He's the owner and chairman of the club.
Yep.
And then you've also got the players as well and the issues that have been there with the players. So obviously with performances not being as good as they can be, all of the word and the talk has come out, the fact that the players don't have the right type of professional atmosphere and professional support that they need to actually be a good quality club and actually win their games. So this goes back to facilities, the fact that that when it comes to player performance, they're not looked after properly. There's also issues with the fact that they work out of demandables and all sorts of things like that. They make big jokes about how poorly the club is run. What they're saying is for a team that's in 2018 at the top level of one of the biggest codes in the country, they're almost running like a school team or something like that. It's just very poor in terms of facilities, player management. So Trent Barrett, over the last 3 to 4 months, has basically provided, at first it began as suggestions and, can you please help us out? We need, some assistance with, infrastructure. We need some assistance, with the training, with all that sort of stuff, with facilities, with, injury management and rehab and all that sort of stuff. Then it became complaints and all that sort of stuff as well, saying, look, we really need a hand here. And then what's happened in the last few weeks is that Trent Barrett's actually come out, after being silent for so long, because the papers have really got wind of all this, and basically sprayed the club up and gone, I've been complaining about how, downtrodden the club is for a while in terms of facilities. And this has been something, for example, that Buzz Rothfield's talked about on the back page of the Telegraph quite regularly in recent times. Paul Kent's, written some articles about it as well. And then the news has come out that, it's got so bad at the club that Trent Barrett's family had to clean the gym up once after a training session, that Trent Barrett had to bring his own desk and his own chairs from home to actually set up his office at Narrabeen to actually do work. So the situation is that you've had a coach who's gone, he's been making these complaints and actually saying, we need a hand here. We actually need some money, some support, some infrastructure. Manly's been, I think it's, Scotty, it's something like 3 CEOs and 3 chairs in the last 3 years as well.
Yeah, but just on the other token, I believe everything Trent Barrett said, but also in the last 10 years, I think they made the final series 7 times. So it can't have been that shithouse.
Well, this is the thing that as a fan, because I've had this argument with many people. We've made the prelim final, I think it's 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
We've made 3 grand finals, won 2 of those, lost to the Roosters in 2013.
But they seem like a real bitchy club. Like, it seems like this isn't the first.
Yes, because they live on the up north shore.
Yeah. Yes,
but Manly's always been that club that everyone's loved to hate, though, as well.
But there always seems to be a lot of internal dramas over the last 5 years, 6 years.
Well, you go back, rewind 4 or 5 years ago with the whole Anthony Watmo situation and what happened with him and the fallout that he had with Daly Cherry Evans, Brett Stewart, the way he was forced out. Jeff Toovey was a great coach. I don't know why he was forced out of the club as well. So the issue with Trent Barrett as well is that he tendered his resignation apparently back in July or something like that. However, he had to give 12 months' notice, which is absolutely ridiculous. This is an argument I had with many people, because you give 12 months' notice in July, you're going to leave the club, then fast forward 12 months when you're halfway through the following season. So it's then like you're almost working down to the end of round 13 or something like that. So you can then leave the club.
It was just part of his contract.
Just his personal.
Yeah, it's not like a normal thing. No, exactly right.
So in the end, what's happened is it's just blown up now. So the situation that's happened now is that the news over the last couple of days and this past weekend was that Manly were going to try and get some legal action happening to actually get rid of him before the Broncos game this coming weekend, the final game of the season. Now it looks like as we record this podcast that he's going to stay there for the rest of the season. Mm. But there's talk now about, because of what he's done to rubbish the club and talk about how poor things are, that what's going to happen is that now he won't get his payout for the final 11 months of the contract, and is going to be looking to get the lawyers involved and terminate.
If it's not true, it's only defamation if it's not true. So they're going to have to prove that everything he said is bullshit.
Of course. So
otherwise, they're going to have to pay him.
So there's going to be an interesting legal battle that comes out of this if it so happens and goes down that path. I'm not sure if that's just a bit of media spotlight on him to actually, you know, try and simmer the situation down a little bit. But it's to answer the question as well, like it's a real farcical situation. It's embarrassing from a supporter's perspective to see that your club is so bad off the field, and that's actually translating to the performances on the field as well. I mean, there's been some really meek results of recent times as well. I mean, you know, lost to the Tigers last weekend. Before that, spanked against the Titans at home. As all these are games we really should be winning, especially when you're playing.
Well, what was it Jack Gibson used to say? You win football games from the front office.
Yeah.
So if the club's not in order, the football team's got no chance.
Yeah, but that raises a good point, though. You know, like Duke said before, though, if you've had, you know, such a successful period as well, and as you were saying, you've been in so many grand finals, it can't be too bad. But at the same time, it looks like it's finally reared its head now that this is a real big situation. There's talk as well that Daly Cherry Evans was looking to leave as well. I don't think there's too much truth to that, if I'm honest.
It's on $1 million a year. Why would you leave?
Well, what's he going to do? Go back to Queensland now? They're talking he's going to go to the Broncos, but after that big backflip and what happened with the Gold Coast Titans all those years ago, I don't think that's going to happen anymore. So overall, the situation is a real sham. You know, whoever comes in as coach is going to have to mend, you know, that divide between the board, mend that with the players as well. There's talk that it might be John Cartwright that comes in.
There,
You know, bit of chat that it could be Jeff Toovey that makes a comeback as well. Des Hasler was in the back page about 4 days ago. A week ago now. In the back of the Telegraph as an option. So overall, it's pretty embarrassing. And as a supporter, it really turns you off. Now, if you're playing bad and having a poor season, then okay, you know, you watch your team, but you realise that they're trying everything. But when it becomes like this, you really do get turned off actually watching and supporting. So, yeah, a bit of a farcical situation. It'd be good to see Manly actually fix themselves up and have a good season next year.
Thanks, Donny.
Bloody hell.
Famous. Queen Vienne is famous for the Campeses, George Lazenby, Mark Webber, and it's where this podcast is recorded. Well, 3 out of 4 ain't bad, I guess. It's the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Benny, Steve and Duke.
Well, things draw to a close. Some massive segments in there this week for the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, thanks to the Butcher Shop in Kaleen.
Payos was waxing.
He was all over it, lyrical. Wasn't he? Episode 18. We've got 9 episodes left for the year, boys.
Just 9.
So we're down to single
figures.
I'm
not here next week. I'm here next week. Week
then
after
you're in Bali.
Week after you're in Bali. Oh, Caden Helmers.
Caden.
Caden, you're in, son.
Send me a text.
So that'll be, I don't know what
Monday week.
So that'll be, whatever.
Caden, 2 weeks. About the 10th or something like that, yep.
August the 11th.
September even.
September the 11th.
Yeah, it's the 10th. Monday the 10th.
Okay,
September.
There you go. Nice there you go, Helmers. Stephen. Nine to go. But we will do a Christmas episode.
This has been the biggest
too.
Season ever.
Except there'll be a Christmas
episode. It's been longer than normal.
Well, because we haven't had any breaks. Once we started, we got in. No one's been crook, and we've filled in the holes now.
Because it's four.
Let's have a break.
No. Okay. We only work 6 months here. You sound like a true fucking public servant already.
How about Betty?
Mental health day.
You tell me when you work 52 hours.
I couldn't come to your thing because I work 52 hours. Fuck, dude. That's Monday to Wednesday.
You drive 50 metres to get here, mate.
Yeah.
I've driven 3 hours today.
That was a bad segment.
Move down south, Benny. Come home with the big dogs.
Yeah. Come and live in Queensland. Mate, there's a shower, eh? You can have the boardroom.
I'd live here. This is an awesome office.
Imagine this
is a stinking penthouse.
This is a penthouse apartment.
I had him look after my house for a week. I know what Ben does when he looks when he lives somewhere. Dog shits on the rug, just pours the shit on it and leaves it there. Fantastic.
I didn't sign up to clean up shit, man. And I signed up to eat all your food that was going to go off.
I cleaned your dried piss off my toilet seat when I came home.
It wasn't my piss, man.
and Ben never house sat again.
That's right. That is dead set right. Now, boys, we need to do an uppercut. And we don't normally get political on the show, but just given what happened last week, I think
we're very broad about
Australian
it.
Australian
be broad.
Politics yeah, in we'll general, be broad. Whether you
how many prime ministers and how long? Six and 10 years or whatever.
Seven and ten.
But I look back; it happened in the '20s as well. So it's not the most we've had in a short period of time. You look back in
you'd
Australian
like to think
history,
we've moved on. Though.
We've gone from 25 to 30 in the space of about 6 years.
So we went Rudd, Gillard, Rudd, then we went Abbott, then we went Turnbull, and now we've gone ScoMo. So. After Rudd, Gillard, Rudd, when Rudd came back in to try and stop the decimation of the Labor Party, they changed the way it works in the Labor Party. So they now need half the rank and file to go, we want to get rid of the leader as well. So it's a lot harder on the Labor Party side to replace a leader now. Well, there is talk that the Libs are going
to
bring that
they
in as
need
well.
They need to, mate. It's just getting ridiculous, isn't it? Yeah. It's a situation. The biggest problem is that you've got people who have been mandated by the actual public, and they're the ones who
don't have a say on
all these nights.
Sends a bad message.
Yeah, well, the last person voted in by the Australian public to be our Prime Minister was Tony Abbott.
Correct.
He was the last one.
Oh, Malcolm Turnbull won an election though, didn't he?
After he knifed Tony. But he shouldn't have been given chance.
But I see
in
what you're saying though,
yeah,
in the context of legitimacy, in that Tony Abbott was opposition leader for a very long time.
And he was a good opposition leader.
And then actually came in and won it. So I do see what you're saying, as opposed to Turnbull, you know, riding that wave and then calling an election and then winning that way. Yeah,
and then lost a bunch of seats too. Yeah. So we just thought, everyone's off Australian politics given what happened last week.
So we're jumping on board.
Yeah, we're going to hit them with everything. So you ready, boys? On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, that sorted them out. Although that didn't hurt Dutton. You can't hurt Voldemort.
He does look like that potato.
We got one of the Horcruxes.
Steve's going, what's a Horcrux?
I am.
Go watch every Harry Potter before you come back.
What is it, a Horcrux?
Do we have to watch that YouTube channel?
Horcrux.
Who's a Horcrux?
Logan Paul.
Lord of the Rings.
It's Harry Potter,
Horcrux,
man.
Horcrux is out of Harry Potter. It's something to do with Voldemort.
Is Harry Potter different? That's different to Lord of the Rings, but it's the same as The Hobbit, though. Is that right? Harry Potter and The Hobbit are the same?
No, Lord of the Rings and Hobbit are the same.
Lord of the Ring and Hobbit are the same. Dear, my daughter just had a heart attack listening to you talk about that stuff.
Sorry, listeners.
Yeah, sorry about that. Stephen knows a lot about sport. Fuck all about popular culture, it seems. So there you go.
I've never watched any of those kids.
They're not kids movies.
Well, okay, well, adult fantasy movies like that.
They're documentaries.
I don't like Lord of the Rings.
I've never watched any of them.
I've tried watching them a few times.
No, I didn't like Lord of the Rings. Harry Potter.
Mr. Frodo. Oh, fuck off.
I watch Harry Potter.
Hagrid is my spirit animal.
Hey, do you remember? I don't know. Did you ever watch Game of Thrones, Benny?
Yeah, I do like Game of Thrones.
Ben loves it because it's full of boobs and cock.
Now you're dead to me as well.
I love Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, you guys talking about Game of Thrones, this and that. Like,
you would love the trim in Game of Thrones.
There's a lot of trim.
There's plenty of fucking ladies.
What's trim, snatch.
Trim. Trim is a slang term for
snatch.
Ladies.
Oh, right. Trim. Never heard of it.
Yeah. Seen plenty of it.
Yes, you have.
Don't know what you're talking about.
All right, folks. And on that note, I'll say get a big black dog up, yeah?
When I'm due for a sick day, aren't I? Sure. No. Can I have a week off just
for public serving? You must be due for a day off.
Don't miss
Vegas.
Me too much, Kim. Oh, sorry. I just jumped in there. Sorry.
I've got nothing.
Is that it?
Well, that's a wrap. And let me guess what happened in this episode. Duke and Ben argued over who was Canberra's favourite fighting son. Steve pronounced some ethnic sports folks' surnames correctly. And Scotty said something about the Newcastle Knights and tried to impress Edwards with a top five. Am I right? Yeah, thought so. The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast couldn't be made possible without our wonderful, long-standing sponsor, The Butcher Shop Kayleen. Wrap your gob around one of their sausages. You'll love it. Till next time.